Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, September 29th. Today, we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss the controversial topic of bipolar disorder diagnosis in America. Let's kick things off with a startling statistic. 3.3 million Americans are currently diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Eric, what's your take on this number?
Well, Ted, that's a mind-boggling figure, isn't it? It's crucial to wrap our heads around the fact that this number has doubled since the 90s. We've got to ask ourselves, is this spike due to better awareness, or are we potentially slapping labels on folks a bit too eagerly?
Hold your horses, Eric. This number likely doesn't even scratch the surface of the true prevalence of bipolar disorder. Tons of people are walking around undiagnosed.
I hear you, Kate, but we can't turn a blind eye to the research pointing to widespread misdiagnosis. A 2008 study in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry dropped a bombshell. Over half of patients tagged with bipolar didn't actually fit the bill.
Come on, Eric, that study's ancient history. Our grasp on mental health has come leaps and bounds since then. Shouldn't we focus on throwing a lifeline to those who are
suffering? I get where you're coming from, Kate, but we can't ignore the potential harm of misdiagnosis. Look at Cassandra Ola's case. Misdiagnosed at 10 and put on a crazy
one case doesn't negate the benefits for millions, Eric. Early intervention is the name of the game when it comes to managing bipolar. We can't sit on our hands while people
you both raise compelling points. Let's shift gears a bit and look at this from a historical angle. Eric, can you think of a similar situation in medical history where a diagnosis became widespread?
Absolutely, Ted. This whole situation reminds me of the lobotomy craze back in the mid-20th century. It's pretty wild to think about. But between the 40s and 50s, docs performed a whopping 40,000 to 50,000 lobotomies in the U.S. alone. It was seen as this miracle cure-all for various mental illnesses.
Whoa, hold up there, Eric. That's a totally unfair comparison. Lobotomies were straight-up barbaric with zero scientific backing. Bipolar disorder, on the other hand, is a well-documented condition.
I get it, Kate, but hear me out. The point I'm trying to make is that medical trends can sometimes go off the deep end. Sure, lobotomies were extreme, but the principle stands. We might be jumping the gun with bipolar diagnoses
today. But Eric, lobotomies caused irreversible damage. Modern bipolar treatments are light years ahead and have been a game changer for countless folks. You can't seriously be.
That's certainly a provocative comparison, Eric. Kate, can you think of a historical parallel that supports your perspective on this issue?
You bet, Ted. Let's take a look at how PTSD was recognized in the 80s. At first, people thought it was just something war vets dealt with, but now we know it affects a way bigger slice of the population. It's a perfect example of how expanding our understanding of a condition can lead to better care for more people.
I'll give you that one, Kate. It's a fair point. But here's the thing. PTSD has some pretty clear-cut diagnostic criteria and specific triggering events. The expanded definition of bipolar disorder is way more subjective. It's like comparing apples and oranges.
Not even close, Eric. The DSM lays out crystal-clear guidelines for diagnosing bipolar disorder. The expanded definition isn't about being wishy-washy. It's about catching
it early. But at what cost, Kate? We're potentially slapping a mentally ill label on normal ups and downs that everyone experiences. That's a slippery slope.
The cost of letting bipolar disorder go untreated is way higher, Eric. We're talking substance abuse, relationship train wrecks, even suicide. Is that really a risk you're willing to take?
Look, I'm not saying treatment isn't important, Kate. Of course it is, but we need to make darn sure we're treating the right thing. Misdiagnosis can lead to years of barking up the wrong tree and missing out on the care people actually need.
Both of you have raised some thought-provoking points. Let's look to the future for a moment. Eric, how do you see the landscape of bipolar diagnosis evolving?
I've got a hunch we'll see the pendulum swing back towards more conservative diagnosis, Ted. As more research comes out about misdiagnosis rates, I think clinicians will start pumping the brakes a bit. It's like they say, once bitten, twice shy.
That's such a glass half empty way of looking at it, Eric. I see a future where we've got even better tools in our toolkit for diagnosing bipolar and treatments that are tailored to each person's unique needs. We're talking.
But shouldn't we be laser focused on nailing the diagnosis in the first place, Kate? Instead of just casting a wider and wider net, maybe we need to.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time, Eric. Getting better at diagnosing doesn't mean we have to narrow things down to a pinpoint. It's about really getting the nuances of the disorder.
You both paint very different pictures of the future. Now let's consider a what-if scenario. Kate, what if the trend of increasing bipolar diagnoses continues unabated?
If that happens, Ted, it means we're reaching more people who desperately need help. We'll see mental health outcomes improving across the board, and the stigma around mood disorders will start to crumble. It's a win-win situation in my book.
I've got to disagree with you there, Kate. If this trend keeps snowballing, we risk turning every little mood swing into a medical condition. We could end up in a
society. Oh, come on, Eric. That's blowing things way out of proportion. Mental health pros are trained to tell the difference between normal mood swings and actual clinical symptoms. Give them some credit.
But the numbers don't lie, Kate. The rate of bipolar diagnosis in kids skyrocketed by 326% between 96 and 2010. That's not just better recognition.
Those numbers show we're finally getting a handle on how bipolar disorder shows up in kids, Eric. Early diagnosis can be an absolute game changer for these children.
Or it could derail their lives in all the wrong ways. Kate, we need to tread very carefully when it comes to slapping lifelong mental health labels on kids. The stakes are just too high.
This has certainly been an illuminating discussion. It's clear that the topic of bipolar disorder diagnosis is complex and nuanced, with valid concerns on both sides. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for sharing your insights and perspectives. As we wrap up, it's evident that more research and ongoing dialogue will be crucial in striking the right balance between early intervention and accurate diagnosis.